Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to worship this morning. We have one rather sad announcement, and that is we just heard Phil Christman passed away here this last week. Need to remember them in our prayers. Let's join together in prayer then. Holy Spirit, we welcome you this morning to come and work in our hearts and our lives. Make your presence real to us. Help us to be aware of your presence and help us to grow in our love for you and for each other here today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. The first reading is from James 4, 1 through 3. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You desire, but do not have, so you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have, because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive, because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. The second reading is Matthew 7, 7 through 12. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you, for this sums up the law and the prophets.
Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, because you are our rock and our redeemer. And we desperately need you, Lord. Amen. When Mary Jo and I left for Costa Rica, I told Ruth that, you know, I could just, didn't have anybody for this Sunday, and I thought, well, I'll just preach a sermon that I preached a number of times before. It's usually when I do in a new church. And that was my plan when we left. And then when I'm down there, I'm having great quiet times, and I start working on a few things personally for myself, just growth personally. And suddenly it started looking like a sermon. And so I thought, well, I'll just preach what's fresh for me here. And that's kind of the honestly, mostly the way I work. That actually happened the first time. One of the first times I was going to preach on internship, I don't know if I've told this story before, but it was in Detroit, Michigan. And I got up to go to church one morning during the week, and I knew that Sunday I was going to be preaching, right? First time in that church there. And it's where I learned preaching is kind of dangerous, because I went out to my car and somebody broke into my car and stolen the radio, chopped it out of the dashboard there. Well, I went and told Mary Jo, I called the police, and they said, well, we'll call you if anybody turns it in. And then I went up and told Mary Jo what they said, and she said, well, my devotion this morning says, don't lay up your treasures on earth where thieves will break in and steal. And I go to church, and you know what the gospel lesson is? Don't lay up your treasures on earth where thieves will break in and steal. So from the beginning, actually, it has to be fresh for me, or if not, God will make it fresh for me that way. And so one of the things that in my reading with Dr. Jim Wilder is one of the stages of growth, One of the tasks of childhood is to learn how to ask for things. And, you know, when you who have had kids, you know this, you know, when they're infants, you just love them and take care of them and they cry and you think, well, you have to guess what it is, right? It's a messy diaper, a wet diaper, they're hungry, or they're crabby and tired, right? You kind of guess what one of those it is and you try them all until they're satisfied, right? Well, it comes a certain point in the life of that child, they're learning how to talk, and they come to you crying and, what do you want? What happened? Ah, you know, they just, no, use your words. Tell me what you want here, right? And then they learn to ask for what they want. Well, well, the funny thing with that was, I was telling my sister about this, and she said, oh, do you remember Dad at breakfast? That's my dad, our dad. At breakfast, he would grunt. And my mom had to figure out what it was he wanted. Now, that's kind of an extreme, you know, and Wilder actually talks about how, you know, many of us men are kind of at the infant level of maturity. It's one of the reasons so many marriages have difficulty. But it can be actually more subtle. Think about it. Do you ever get frustrated because somebody didn't anticipate your needs? Well, they should have known. But did you ask them? Or has anybody here been irritated? Something really kind of bugs you, but you never tell them? You're just irritated every time it happens again and again and again, right? But have you learned to use your words yet? Have you learned to ask? James in that lesson there says, you do not have because you do not ask. It's kind of interesting. I mean, sometimes we just expect people to read our minds, right? One kind of humorous story, pastor-wise, a friend of mine, he's since passed away, but he said the first thing he would tell in a new congregation was, he said, you know that day that they had that mind-reading class at seminary? I missed it. And so if you want something from me, please tell me. You know, it's something to keep in mind with a new pastor. You know, it's like, well, they should have just heard from the grapevine, right? That there was some, that I had a problem. Well, sometimes we pastors are kind of out of the grapevine. We miss it. And we can't expect other people to read our minds. We shouldn't expect to read other people's minds. You do not have because you do not ask. Now, what occurred to me in reading that was, why not? Well, I was reading a book by John Gottman, and he says, when we have had our needs ignored early in life, it teaches us one of two things. We're not worthy of having our needs met, or two, my needs are weak or bad. Now, in regards to the first one, not worthy. Now, in regards to God, that's most likely is true, right? We're not worthy of having our requests answered. I mean, he is holy and, you know, there are times that we're not, maybe. Can we acknowledge that much? We don't deserve it. But you know what? And that's why I love that second reading. Ask and you shall receive, Jesus says. And he even goes on and he says, if you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Isn't that cool? our heavenly daddy loves us. Now, the infant can't do anything to earn the parents' love, right? They're just there and they look cute, right? They make a lot of work for you. They keep you up all night. Our son Marcus has kind of a funny deal. You ask him, well, how did you sleep? You know, and the common thing, well, I slept like a baby. Yeah, I slept like a baby. I woke up every 2 hours crying. No, you can't do anything. That baby doesn't do anything in order to be loved. It's just loved, and that's how our Heavenly Father loves us. He delights in giving good gifts to his children. Do you know that that is the God that we worship, is the God who loves us and cares about us and wants us to pour out our hearts to him and ask him? And you know, one of the reasons we don't ask is because we just feel like we're not worthy, but it's not based on our worth. It's based on the love of God that we ask him. In that occurred to me. Repeat after me. God loves me and wants to give me good gifts. Let's say that together. God loves me and wants to give me good gifts. One more time. I mean, some of these things, I'm a little dense sometimes and I need to repeat them. God loves me and wants to give me good gifts. Isn't that neat? Another reason we don't ask is that we feel like our needs are weak or bad. And it may be, right? One of the fun incidences in the scriptures is where James and John, you know, the sons of thunder is their nickname, come to Jesus and Jesus, what do you want? You know, there are numerous times in the scriptures Jesus asks, what do you want? The blind man, he asked him, what do you want? And isn't that interesting? Jesus, he probably already knows what they want. But he asked them anyway, it's so that they can clarify what's going on inside of them. But James and John, all we want is sit at your right and your left hand when you come into your kingdom. Not particularly a holy desire, right? In Jesus' sense, about gently correcting them, right? He says, it's not mine to give, but you know, what's really important is that you love your neighbor. It's that you serve one another. The greatest in the kingdom of God's going to be the one that serves, right? You want to be great, serve the people around you. And the beautiful thing about giving all of our desires to God that way is that he can clarify then what's going on inside our heart. You know, I may ask for this, but, you know, when I come into God's presence that way, he'll say, you know, what you really want is this. And, you know, if I feel a little tension rising in my body, I said, yeah, that's probably not what you want, is it, God? And how do you handle that, right? Is it like a spoiled kid, you know, when you come to God? Well, again, I used to be this, for a time I went through in my spiritual life, kind of the name and claim it. Oh, I'm going to stand on the promises of God. God, because you said this, you have to give me this. What does that sound like? Like a little kid, right? Who would talk to anybody reasonably that way? You know, and yet you hear a lot of people have turned away from God because God didn't answer their prayer the way that they wanted that prayer answered. And they haven't been open to saying, well, God, what is your will in this? What is your loving response to this? Knowing that God works all things out for the good, that he's still working, you know. And there's a great praise song these days that's the words of it go something like, if it's not good, God is not done with you yet. And I really like that. There'll be joy in the morning is the name of the song. And there's going to be joy in the morning. I may not be experiencing right now, but if it's not good, then God is not done with you yet. It's coming. And that's the cool thing, is we can bring all our desires from God and delight in Him. In that song that we read responsively, the second line there, delight in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart, the real desires for love, affection, appreciation. Delight in God and He'll give you the desires of your heart that way. How do we ask well then? James says, you do not receive because you ask and do not receive because you ask with wrong motive, the New International Version says. But the word motive isn't in the original Greek. It just says, you do not ask because you ask wrongly. Or it could also be translated foully, poorly. You catch the idea there. And that's true whether it's with other people or with God. Gottman gives some good human examples here, both poorly and good, right? He says, don't say, oh, you never make time for me anymore. Obviously, you couldn't care less about our relationship. Oh, anybody get defensive hearing that? instead, he says, he has kind of a process. One, share your feeling. Second, share the situation. And then third, state positively what you'd like. So, in example, to fix that first example, he says, do say, I feel lonely. That's my feeling. When we go this long without really spending quality time with each other. That's the situation. Can we find some time just to be together? Isn't that? Who could get defensive at that? Gives another example. You always leave the kitchen such a mess. Now, I wonder whether that's a husband or wife that's talking there. What a slob you are. You don't think I want to relax at the end of the night, too? Do say, I feel overwhelmed lately. That's your feeling. By all the things there are to do around the house, the situation. Could you take over the dishes or the laundry this week? Your positive need. Well, again, in regards to God, we can kind of do the same thing. You know, that name it, claim it kind of thing. You promised, you have to. Instead, we could say, Lord, I'm feeling lonely or hurt or sad or angry. I actually have a prayer or a emotion wheel. You see, I grew up with Spock, you know, Star Trek, and Spock was my hero. I wanted to be completely emotionless. Problem is, you can't be. You can just pretend to be and be completely ignorant of what's going on in your body, but I found that I'll have a prayer wheel right next to where I have my devotions, and I'll look at it and say, I'm feeling tense. What's going on here? Am I sad or angry or lonely or what is it I'm feeling here, God? And tell that to God. And sometimes I even have to ask God, God, what's going on with me? Why am I upset? Why am I tense here? And as you do that, then you can figure out, well, what is it? What would I like? What do I want here, God? What would be good for me, God? And then I'll just sit and listen. Say, God, speak to me. And I'll have thoughts come to mind. And what's cool is that He can give healthy, good ways of responding. He can reveal to me what the deeper need is that I have in my heart. And, you know, it's probably for something like, well, I want to be seen, like mentioned at the beginning. I want to be soothed and not fixed. I want to be understood. I want to be useful, whatever it is. But to conclude, I remembered this kind of a, I don't know, it's kind of a poem prayer that I'd heard a long time ago. And thanks to the internet, I found it here. So I asked God for strength that I might achieve. I was made weak that I might learn humbly to obey. I asked for health and I might do great things. I was given infirmity that I might do better things. I asked for riches that I might be happy. I was given poverty that I might be wise. I asked for power that I might have the praise of men. I was given weakness that I might feel the need of God. I asked for all things that I might enjoy life. I was given life that I might enjoy all things. I got nothing I asked for, but everything I hoped for. Almost despite myself, my unspoken prayers were answered. I am among men most richly blessed. I'd like to have us have a time of prayer. Just maybe there's something that you've been a little shy about asking God for. Let's just close our eyes and take a moment to let God bring to mind what it is that we've wanted and we've been shy about asking God for. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are a good and wonderful and loving God. Help us, Lord, to delight in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, as you go your way, may Christ go with you, may go before you to guide you, behind you to encourage you, beside you to befriend you, over you to protect you, and within you to fill you with his love and joy and peace. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.